passage that we're going to be looking at this morning is in 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's ask God for his help. Father God, I come before you, we come before you, Lord. We need your understanding. We need your Holy Spirit to lead me in this message, and we need your Holy Spirit to open the hearts of the people hearing it. Lord, I can do nothing without you. We all can do nothing without you, Lord. You did it all. It truly is all about you, Jesus, and we love you, and we just need your help, and we ask for it. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the word love that is being used here is from the ancient Greek word agape. It's a selfless love. A God kind of love. One that you would expect no payment in return. In fact, if you expected payment in return with the love, then it can't be agape love. It's not philia, which is another ancient Greek word, which means a friendship kind of love. It's much more than that. And it's certainly not eros, which is a sensual kind of love. Now that we know what kind of love is being used in this passage, let's see what the Apostle John is telling us. Beloved, let us love one another. Well, who's beloved? Who's John talking to? It's the church, the believers, the body of Christ, right? Now, John's writing all this stuff down, but I want to remind you guys something before we get going. This is the Word of God. So John's writing it down, but God is telling us, if you're a part of my body, love one another with an agape love. Next he writes, for love is from God. If we just look at it, God's love and his mercies that he pours out on us every day. The fact that we got up this morning, the fact that we made it to church here without an accident, the air that we breathe, I mean, His love and his mercies are all around us. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, John is telling us we need to be born again to have this agape love. And when I first read this, I'm going to be honest, some red flags went up in me. I was reading it to my wife, Lacey, and some red flags went up in her. Because I know people that love God, I mean, that love their spouses, love their children, would surely lay their lives down for them people. There's good organizations in this world that do good things. They go out to natural disasters, they help people, they feed the hungry, but they don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with God. So I struggled with this for a little while. And I think I found the answer. Well, I did find the answer, I know this. In Genesis 1:26, Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Those who are not Christians can display acts of love because we are made in God's, after God's image and after His likeness. A quote I read in a commentary said this that I really liked. And I don't know who the guy was in the quote, so, but anyways, it said, it is because men are created in the image of God, an image that has been defaced but not destroyed by the fall, that they still have the capacity to love. Human love, however noble and however highly motivated, falls short if it refuses to include the Father and Son as the supreme objects of its affection. End of quotes. A born-again kind of love is acknowledging where it comes from. It comes from God. God is love. And John wanted us to know this. He tells us this in verse 8 in 1 John 4, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And he doesn't want us to miss this, so he tells us again in verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But this is just one of God's many attributes. To simply say that God is love and that he is only love would be bringing him down to our level, our understanding. God is so much more than that. God isn't just love. Well, in one place in the Bible, well, two places, he says, God, in Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. So, part of loving is having an appropriate fear of God. God is a just God. God is a jealous God. He wants us to love Him and Him alone. He wants us not to bow down to anything else other than Him. But God is a loving and merciful God. As we are merciful and loving with our children, God is so much more merciful and loving with us. Just think about it. In the New Testament, how many times do you say, I'm slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love? Just go through there and look at that. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, He is slow to anger, and He is abounding in steadfast love. That's our God. You know, I think of love and the word love, and our society has distorted that word. We think it's that ushy-gushy feeling we get when we're in school, or that brand new truck that I love so much and I want to wax and polish it every day. It's even portrayed in bad ways too. I left her because I love that other person. But that's not love. Not an agape love. That's a distorted view of love. This is love. In 1 John 4, 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Jesus took our punishment. That's love. Turn to Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while We were still weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person one would even dare even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took our punishment. That is love. All of us who were no friends of God, we were enemies of God, in fact, the Bible tells us, he took our punishment. If you want to know what love is, look to the cross, because that'll show you what love is. Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What is the cup? It's the wrath of God. Jesus was the propitiation. He took God's wrath for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, the perfect God, man, who knew no sin, he died on a cross. That's love. Look to the cross. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You see, that's love. Jesus, if we want to know what love is, that's love. Jesus showed us what love was. Now I want everybody to think about something for a minute. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. They've always been. And they created time and space and everything in it, including us. Now listen to what Jesus prays to his Father shortly before he was arrested in John 17, verses 20 through 26. And you can turn there if you want. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's talking about his disciples there that are there right now, and then also us. He doesn't ask for them only, but also for those that will believe, us, the believers. Verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundations of the world. Just a second, I lost my place. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they've always had this great love in between themselves. And through the cross, they've allowed us to be a part, become a part of that great love that they have for each other. We can be a part of that now. Back to 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So how? How do we love one another? First, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot love with that agape love. So how are we saved? Romans 9:10-13 tells us how you're saved. I'm in Romans 10:9-13. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. It's for everybody. We all fall in that. Everyone. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So first, we've got to be saved. Second, we need to start in our own homes. How can we love one another outside of our homes if we can't even do it in our own homes? Amen. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm sure many of you know what passage this is and what I'm going to be reading, but we can't read God's word enough. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, talking to the children now. Who's the children? We're all children. So, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Wives, are you submitting to your husbands? Husbands, are we loving our wives as Christ loved the church, willing to lay down our lives for our wives? That's not just our lives, I want to say that. That's, are we going out and providing for our families? Do we have jobs? Are we doing the things that God has called us to do? Are we providing, loving our wives, our family? Children, are we honoring our fathers and our mothers? And fathers, are we raising our children, our families right, to have a fear of the Lord, to have a love for the Lord? Are we disciplining them when they need discipline? Because if you're not disciplining your kids, you're not loving them. And third, God has given every believer, I believe, a spiritual gift. Are we using our gifts to bless the body of the church? Paul talks about these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all, in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as he wills. So, are we using the gifts to bless the body, these gifts? Or are we loving one another? Because you got chapter 12 here, and then in chapter 13, he talks about if we're not using, I think, these gifts for the body and for love. Sorry, I'll get this out. Chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and all understanding, all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Are we using our spiritual gifts to love one another? Or are we, I mean, we need teachers, we need, and look at the list on there, we need people to clean the church. I mean, that might be your gift. I'm not saying it is. But search your heart and see. And if you can serve, serve for God, not for anybody else. But, I mean, there's one spirit in all of those gifts. It's the spirit of God. And if he's calling you, maybe, then, anyway, that's all I'll say about that. In closing, I want to read one more passage to you. And it's in, when Paul was writing to the church of the Thessalonians. This is in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. I don't think the Thessalonian church didn't have problems. They did. Jesus had to die for their sins too on the cross. But Paul here is saying, there's no need to write to you concerning brotherly love. I think they had that one down a little bit better than most of us. Now, if the Apostle Paul were writing a letter to the Ephraim Church of the Bible, I just want to think about this for a minute. Would it say, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout CFP County. Or would it say something different? If you're writing it to me, it'd probably say something different. So, my prayer, I want to point something out here. They have been taught by God. It says, you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. So, my prayer, and I hope your prayer this week, would be that God would teach us to love one another more. That, you know, the Thessalonian church couldn't do it without God, and we can't do it without God. Like I said, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we need your help, Lord. We need you to teach us. Teach us to love one another, Lord, as you did the Thessalonian church. Lord, we know that's the only way we're going to love one another as you want us to. We can't do it on our own power or our own merits. We need you to help us, Lord, through your saving power, through your spirit, Lord. Help us to use our gifts, Lord, the ones that you have given, that you have blessed us with, to serve and love one another, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our families, our own homes, to be loving in our families, to respect each other, to love each other, to lay down our lives for each other. And Lord, I know it will move from there into the body, and just people will look and see and say, I want that love, Lord. I know they'll want you, Lord. Help us to be that body of believers that loves so much that people look at us and say, they're different. God, that's the love that we want you to help us to have. And I say this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.